Irshad, you founded the Moral Courage Project, a wonderful name. Tell us what that is and what are your goals with the project?
Yeah. Well, the project has actually been around for a few years now, and it started by teaching people worldwide how to practice and develop moral courage. And very briefly, I'll say that, you know, when people hear the phrase moral courage, we often think, speak truth to power, because that's how Robert F. Kennedy and many others like him defined it. But, you know, today we're living in a time when media push the narrative that I don't have any power. Power always exists out there in the politicians, in the police officers, in the tech titan and the media mogul and the corporate captain. In other words, everybody but me. So, you know, no wonder I have to lash back. And that's simply not true. The reality is that all of us human beings are born with brains that have a primitive region. And that part of the brain makes us feel more stressed out, more defensive, and therefore more fearful whenever we encounter points of view that contradict our own. And when you think about the fact that we're also living in a time where we're all immersed in technologies that, you know, are designed to amp up the emotional parts of our brain, you can see why moral courage today doesn't just mean speak truth to power out there. It also means speak truth to the power of your own ego brain, the part of the brain that wants you to be fighting constantly. And the Moral Courage Project is now teaching people how to calm that part of the brain down so that, frankly, we can give a hearing, a fair hearing to all kinds of views and learn from them so that at the end of the day, we can come up with solutions that are sustainable, sustainable because they've got buy-in from all sides.
Well, you're right about us being divided and polarized. I think certainly in my lifetime, I've never seen anything like we're going through right now. So when we talk about some of these hot topics like diversity, racism, politics, those many topics that currently have our society so polarized, how do we overcome those differences? How do we keep from taking offense when someone expresses a different view from our own?
The key thing to remember is that most people are not evil or crazy or wanting to do you harm. Most people who have a point of view sincerely believe that they are right. And so the last thing you want to go in to a conversation with someone who has a different point of view doing is telling them that they're wrong. From their perspective, you are wrong. And you're not going to change their mind, just like they're not going to change your mind by ridiculing and mocking and berating. What you want to do is glimpse their humanity and ensure that they see that you view them as a human being. And that means you're the one who's going to have to take some steps to calm yourself down. When I come to Western Michigan University, I will be teaching everybody who attends the marquee event some core tips and techniques about how to lower your own emotional defenses. And here's why you should. It's not because you want to be nice. It's not because you want to be civil. It's because you want to become a better communicator of your own point of view. So here's the, you know, ironclad law of human psychology, that if you want to be given a fair hearing, the most reliable way to get that fair hearing is to give one first. In other words, you can lead by listening. And remember, you're not compromising anything by listening. Listening does not mean having to agree with. What it means is clearing space so that your so-called other has the incentive to listen to you as well.
I think it might be a good place here to pause and talk about the concept or the definition of diversity, since that's a big part of what we're talking about. And that word is misused, if I understand you correctly. Mm-hmm. What is honest diversity? What are
right.
we talking about?
Well, I do distinguish between honest diversity and dishonest diversity. So let me start with dishonest diversity. That's the kind of diversity that slices and dices each of us into prefabricated categories, sticks us into those categories, and leaves us there as if we are inert objects. Categories such as BIPOC or white or queer or straight or cis or feminist, capitalist, socialist. Look, you can be any one of those things, but those are labels. And labels do not capture all of what you are. And so if we're going to be practicing diversity much more honestly, we've got to recognize first that all of us, if I may use an anti-label label, all of us are plurals. We are so much more than meets the eye. And that means instead of assuming things about one another based on the labels that our primitive brains give to each other, we've got to engage rather than assume. And that brings me to what honest diversity is about. Honest diversity recognizes that even within groups, people are not the same. Just because I'm part of the same demographic as, say, Muslims, because I happen to be a Muslim, does not mean that I share the same way of thinking as everybody who is part of that group. It would be absurd to say, well, all Muslims think alike. That's not true. And it's also not true that all straight white guys think alike. So honest diversity takes into account that we are individuals as much as we are members of communities, and that as a result, we also have diversity of viewpoint. And you know, when we again clear space for the individuality of each of us to shine through, for us to be able to express what we believe, why we believe it, we're in fact dismantling stereotypes. And that's why I say you can have free speech expressing what you truly believe as well as social justice at the same time. Because social justice is about doing away with stereotypes. And the more we can see one another's individuality and not just group membership, the more we'll give each other the space to hear each other out. That's what honest diversity is all about.
So if we boil that down to the core, it's take the individual one at a time rather than as a group, if I hear you correctly there.
Now let me just make one other point here about this, Zinta, which is that I, of course, recognize that some individuals proudly take labels for themselves. It's part and parcel of their journey to self-awareness and to self-empowerment. And I completely applaud that. The point here is, though, that just because I know the labels you have for yourself doesn't mean I know your values, your priorities, and your opinions. You are, as I am, much more complex than the baggage that goes with any of the labels. So we can start with labels, certainly. Just if we care about one another, let's not make labels the finish line. We can use them as starting points, but starting points to discover more about one another.
And I know there's a favorite saying that you have from Bruce Lee, be like water.
That's right.
And so that kind of goes with my next question, which I assume is going to be part of your answer. How do we engage that other, in quotations, in conversations so that it can be productive, so that we can break down some of those barriers?
Well, you know, I could give away all of my ammo right now and tell you the exact how, but I would prefer to have folks listening to this conversation come to Western Michigan University and attend the marquee event of my visit, in which I will teach how we can engage in, you know, productive conversation with the so-called other. But I will tease, I will throw you a scrap. You mentioned Bruce Lee. And of course, he's the world-renowned martial arts master, who, by the way, was also a philosopher. And he taught his own students, be like water. What he meant was, water always gets to where it needs to go. But it doesn't get there merely by crashing up against the obstacles in its midst. No, water is much more fluid than that. Water seeps through the obstacles. It washes over the obstacles. It glides around the obstacles. So what he was saying to his own martial arts students was this: when you face your other, stay agile. Don't be fragile, because the more fragile you are, the more rigid you'll become. And that means you will break under too many circumstances. But if you stay agile, you'll be able to respond rather than react. You'll be able to keep yourself calm. You'll be able to keep yourself fluid, and you will wind up outwitting your other. It's the same in this case. I'll be teaching some tips and techniques whereby you can actually outwit not just your adversary, the person who is disagreeing with you, but also your most formidable opponent, which is your ego. The ego that wants you to get your back up, that wants you to believe that you're under mortal threat when you're being disagreed with. It's simply not true. And I'm going to teach everyone how to become the boss of your ego.
That's a great tease. So I'm wondering too, do we have a responsibility to speak up when we see something or hear something really terrible? Part of our polarization these days is the trolls on social media. Yep. When do we say, okay, I respect your free speech? And when do we need to stand up and say, enough is enough? That's just not right.
Right. You can say that, by the way, together. I respect your free speech. And what you have just said is completely abominable. Thanks for your time. Go troll somebody else. But here's the other part of what you need to remember, that you can always speak up for what you believe is right and should. It's not about what you say, though. It's about how you express what you want to say. So that if you actually want to have influence with the so-called other, you need to express it in a way that doesn't humiliate the other, but instead shows them that you understand they have a point of view, you fundamentally disagree with it, but they are human too. And that if they want to have a fair hearing with you, they're going to have to give you a fair hearing as well. So you see, this is not about shutting up or shutting down or staying silent, nothing like that. It's about becoming a better communicator of where you are coming from. So you can have both disagreement and respect at the same time. I'll leave you with this, principle to reflect on. In the moral courage method of communicating, you can stand your ground and seek common ground at the same time. Standing your ground is about what you believe. Seeking common ground is about how you express what you believe. And if you can leave the other feeling heard, not agreed with, heard, then you in turn have set the stage for you to be heard by them. I'll explain how it all works at Western Michigan University.
There you go, another tease. The role of social media in polarization, do you see that as the main cause of why we're so divided today?
It is definitely an aggravating cause, no question about it. I'm old enough to remember a time when, sure, people disagreed with one another, and we all do. I mean, we're human. Nobody thinks the same. But we didn't have as much disgust for one another. as we do today. And social media is deliberately designed to rile up our emotions. That's how they keep us on their platforms. That's how engineers and designers ensure that tech companies make a buck, or frankly, $1 billion from us. So learning the skills of moral courage will ensure that you don't get manipulated by social media. But frankly, Zinta, that's not the only reason we're as divided as we are. Even traditional media outlets are now having to appeal to subscribers rather than advertisers. And let's face it, people pay good money to subscribe to publications and other media outlets, not because they want to be challenged, but because they want their biases confirmed. And subscription-based media outlets understand that. So even they, frame their stories in a way that appeals to subscribers' emotions. So ultimately, it's we consumers who have to look inside ourselves and ask, how much am I willing to work on myself so that I don't get duped by the us against them business model, the business model of media, social or otherwise, that keeps us, divided, and that we as consumers are buying into? How much do I have to change myself in order to change my society? And the truth is, it does start with each of us. But the good news is that the tips and techniques I'll be teaching are simple. So simple that they're actually common sense. It's just that in the heat of emotion, we tend to throw common sense out the window and give as good as what we think we're getting. But we can be better than that. We can have more self-mastery and self-discipline than that. Remember Bruce Lee, be like water.
So I hear you saying that a lot of this begins with looking in the mirror and looking at, are you really trying to start a conversation or are you on attack? So at first, examine your own motives.
Examine your own motives and remember, the work that you do on yourself is not some kind of a concession or some kind of compromise. What it is an investment in you becoming a highly persuasive, much more convincing communicator than you are right now. So the good news is, if you really believe in what you want others to hear you for, then I can teach you how to get heard. The question is, are you willing to do the work to become more influential?
I've also heard you say that shame doesn't belong in these conversations, that if you, for instance, might be one of those privileged that you're blessed with wealth or the right skin color or the right side of town, that you shouldn't feel guilty about that or ashamed of that either.
Correct. Look at how we are born is not our choice. What we do with that is our choice. So I can tell you, I'm Muslim, I'm a person of color, I'm a woman, I'm able-bodied, I have enough means to live in New York City. I'm both disadvantaged for some of those reasons and advantaged for some of those reasons. What do you do with someone like me? Do you, call me oppressive? Do you try to convince me that I'm oppressed? The point is that we are all bundles of privilege and non-privilege. And that is why we've got to look at one another first and foremost as plurals. We are all so much more than meets the eye. In that way, each one of us has the privilege to use the blessings that we've got for a greater good. And each one of us has something that, frankly, could be used to hold us back. And that's why we've also got to engage with one another in a way that motivates one another to work for the greater good. Shaming, berating, humiliating, ridiculing doesn't motivate. All it does is make people defensive. And in the worst case scenario, that kind of defensiveness radicalizes people to dig in their heels. In many ways, it's why, you know, we got President Trump and might again get President Trump. So here's the counterintuitive truth. If you believe that this country deserves leadership that does not come from President Trump, you've got to stop shaming and blaming people who might vote for him and understand where they're coming from, because that is the way you will be heard. And similarly, if you're a supporter of Trump, rather than becoming all defensive because I happen not to be a supporter of his, understand where I'm coming from so that I give you a fair hearing about why you vote the way you do. Again, you know, are you in the conversation just to thump your chest and pull a superiority complex? Well, okay, but that's really not going to move the needle for either of us. Or are you in it to actually move the needle one way or the other? And if it's the latter, then, you know, you're going to have to begin to understand my point of view. So at the end of the day, become a better communicator. And that means exercising the moral courage to tamp down on your ego and open up your ears to where the other is coming from.
Wise words, much needed. And I'm finally just going to ask you, do you have hope for us? Do you think we can overcome the divisiveness we're living through now?
I do have hope, Zinta. That doesn't mean I'm optimistic. You know, hope and optimism are two different things, right? Optimism suggests, hey, it's all going to work out. Hope suggests it can work out if we're willing to do the work on ourselves. So yeah, I've got hope because we're all capable of exercising moral courage. Are we willing? We'll find out at Western Michigan University.
Thank you so much. I am thoroughly teased into going to hear you. Thank you so much for your time today.
I'm very pleased that you invited me, and thanks for your time.